Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Hey, good morning, church. I love working with talented, awesome people like Laura and so many others here at the church. And I love that we get to spend time here together, kind of wrapping up the series. So if you're joining us online, good morning. Glad that you're here. We are going to kind of finish this series that we've been talking about for the last several weeks, looking at our life on purpose. That God has given each one of us a purpose individually, and that God has also given us as a church a purpose. Something that collectively that we cannot do on our own, but when we come together, we get to do it together. And it's only possible because we came together. Like 350 of those bags, are you kidding me? Like that's amazing in just a couple short weeks. And for us to get to 500 and to be influencing teachers and families all over this entire community, not just right here, not just across the street, but all over the county and all over the community. We can't do that unless we're living our lives together on purpose and coming together to do that. That's why this series has been just, it's been fun to be a part of and to watch and to sit back and to listen and to hear all these stories. So today we're just going to kind of wrap this up. We're going to kind of bring this, the series to a close, but not the idea of living on purpose. We're not going to wrap that up. Denny said it in the video. We're actually just getting started. We're just getting started on this, and it's going to take on new forms and new life as we all live our lives together on purpose. To kind of land the series, we're going to spend some time in the book of Acts, which sounds a little funny because we did an entire series looking through the first third of the book of Acts, but the passage that we're going to look together isn't in the first third. It's actually the start of the middle of the book of Acts because in the beginning of the book of Acts, it's like looking, it's like when God's preparing and sending people out. And so now that we're in this series on purpose, we got to move a little bit further into the book of Acts, and we see what happens when people actually start to do that, to live their lives on purpose. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to join me. Acts chapter 8 is where we're going to be. We're looking at a character. His name is Philip. Okay, so let's pick up the story kind of midstream. What's happened is that all of these apostles, which is a fancy word that means one who is sent, all of these apostles have been sent out, right? And because there was some oppression and persecution, they're being sent out even further. And so Philip and some buddies, they're sent out and say that they go out. And we pick up the story with Philip, and here's what it says. Those who had been scattered, right, so both sent out and scattered, they preached the word wherever they went. So they go out and they, even though they're being persecuted, they're still preaching God's word. They preached the word wherever they were sent. Now Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. Now that's different than he's talking about God. He's saying Jesus is the Messiah, the one that we've all been waiting for. So that's the story that he's telling. And here's what happens. When the crowds heard Philip, they saw the signs that he performed, and they all paid close attention to what he said. Because, and here's why, and it tells us why they paid attention. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many people who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So these incredible signs and wonders are happening under Philip's teaching. So there was great joy in the city. Now, I want to just pause here for just a second. That gives us context to what was happening in Philip's life. Everything is up and to the right. So Philip has been sent out, right? So he gets chosen. He's sent out. He gets to be one of the people that's preaching. And he's not just preaching and nothing's happening. He's not going to these cities and nothing's taking place. Actually, where he goes, God is moving and stirring and it's drawing a crowd. And lots of people are coming. And the places where he's going, they're being packed out because people are seeing that God is working through Philip. And it's amazing what's happening. So everything in Philip's life is up and to the right. You ever had one of those seasons? How awesome is that? Everything is up and to the right. And you just like, you know, you go and pump gas and somebody left 30 cents off, you know, the gas from the time before you. And like, this is incredible, you know? And then, you know, you open the mailbox and you're like, hey, remember that thing 12 years ago that we just got, you know, money back on that. Like everything is up and to the right for Philip. So much so that, and we're going to skip this part of the story, even people who aren't following God come to Philip and they're like, hey, I want what you're drinking because like this is good stuff. Like whatever, like it seems like whatever you touch turns to gold. So everything is up and to the right. You think that at this moment, then that God's just going to say, okay, Philip, we're going to blow this up even further. We're going to make this even bigger. This is like, Philip, you're going to go on tour. Like the book you've always wanted to write, like you're going to write this book and it's going to sell and it's going to be amazing. And then the story takes an interesting turn. Move on down to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord sneaks in and says to Philip, Philip, go south to the road. And not just any road, Philip, I want you to leave and go south, specifically south to the road, the desert road. Not populated with hundreds of people. No book publisher there waiting for you. Philip, I want you to go south to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. I want you to leave everything. Philip, everything is booming, it's good. Like you're going to be on the morning show on the news this week. Like I get that, Philip. It's great. But Philip, I want you to just pause. Something I need from you. I need you to go to the desert. And Philip's response. You don't even have to turn the page. It's right in the next line. So we started out. He does it. The Spirit of God nudges him, whispers to him. And he does it. He starts out. And on his way, an interesting story, he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, this important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candace. He's traveling and he sees this guy, basically the chariot that he's riding in. He can tell he's an important official. And this guy's, he's really something special. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship God, but the story's going to reveal what was he going for? He was going to worship God, but he didn't really know God. He was sent on this journey, this important journey, and Philip just sees him, and he's like, okay, this guy had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, the guy was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now, that tells us a couple things about this guy. Number one, he was literate, which meant that he was in a different class than everyone else. Says though also he was in charge of part of the queen's stuff. So that meant to put him in a completely different category. So really, really important. But we're going to learn something about what he knew about God and what he didn't know about God. Now the Spirit, again, speaks to Philip. And the Spirit told Philip, look at these directions. Look at how simple they are. Just go up next to that chariot and stay near it. Now for me, here's the problem. When I read stories like this, I'm like, wait a minute. Everything was up and to the right. And he's preaching to thousands. Lots of people are getting healed. And now his mission is this. Go to the desert and walk beside this chariot. God, well, what? It seems like the purpose, like everything was up and to the right. What's this about? Like he was cruising, like he was on his way. And now you send him to the desert and you tell him, just go walk. And go walk next to this guy's chariot. So, Philip, it's not me, because I would have like, I don't know. I'm going to stay with the crowd. Like there's like a buffet after the thing and I'm going to stay and it's going to be awesome. No, Philip does it. Says Philip then ran up to the chariot. And he's running beside the chariot and he hears this guy reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip just asks a question. Hey, real quick. And I picture him jogging. Ooh, you gotta slow down. First off, can you do that? Like, do you understand what you're reading? Like, do you know what you're reading? And look what happens. The guy speaks back to him and he says, how can I? Like, I just spent this whole trip to Jerusalem. I went there and now I'm reading this. Like, I don't understand this. How can I understand this unless somebody will explain this to me? So then he invites Philip to come up and sit with him. How interesting is this? Let's flip it. Let's not look at Philip for just a second. Let's look at this Ethiopian guy. He's sitting there and he's reading something. He's completely confused. And all of a sudden there's a guy running beside his chariot. What's he thinking? He's confused. And then he's now wondering, this is so confusing. Can you help me with this? And then turns out the guy is a guy who's been explaining it to thousands and thousands of people all over the place. You think God's got his attention? Because Philip then pops up and begins to talk to him. And let's not miss this. The place where we find ourselves every day, where we work, where we play, where we go to school, that our location is an invitation. Let's not miss this. When we talk about purpose, our location, where God has us, is an invitation. Philip certainly had an invitation when he was speaking in front of all those people. And to prove his point, to illustrate his point, God sends him to the desert along this crazy road and bumps into a guy that just happens to be reading the book of Isaiah. And God places him specifically in that moment, in that space, in that time. So when that guy is confused, there is someone, a teacher, a preacher, who understands who the Messiah is, who can clearly explain God's word. I don't know where you live. I don't know where you work. I don't know where you play. That's part of why we're doing this impact assessment in a couple weeks. If you've not heard Denny talk about it and our staff talking about it, all of us together are doing an impact assessment. We're going to figure out where we live, work, and play, where we're already having influence, and where collectively God has put us as a church in our community, and where he's given us strengths where we can work together so we can understand the impact that we're having, and we can look for the holes. We can expose the places where we're not strong. We can expose those places where we're weak, and we can fill those in, or we can leverage other churches, other ministries to reach this community for Christ. But make no mistake, that's collectively where you are. Your location is an invitation. Your neighborhood, your school, your desk, your cubicle. Do you think the very place where you go to work 6, 8, 10 hours a day, do you think it's an accident? I don't. No more of an accident than Philip landing in the desert next to some guy who needs someone to explain to him the word of God that he's reading. Goes on, says, this is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. And it reads this prophecy about Jesus, the Messiah, the risen Messiah. Here's the prophecy from Isaiah. It says, he will be like a sheep. He will be led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So this is what he reads about Jesus, the prophecy about Jesus. And the eunuch then looks at Philip and he says, can you seriously, will you please tell me, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. One of the things I love about this story is Philip didn't run alongside the chariot and go, hey, real quick, I found myself on a desert road. Can you just stop the chariot for just a second? I want to tell you about Jesus, the risen Messiah. Would you just stop for just a second? He doesn't do that. He doesn't walk up to the guy's door and go, hello, you've never met me. You don't know anything about me. You didn't invite me to your house, but I'd like to tell you about Jesus. He didn't do that. He just obeyed the Spirit of God and put himself where God told him to go. And then God does this. God opens the door. God opens the door for Philip to share the gospel. We were talking in a meeting recently about, like, how do we reach our community for Christ? And we kind of fumbled into this thought, well, we can either go knock on doors of people who don't know us. We can go beat down the door and go, hey, we want to tell you about Jesus. Or when we find out they need school supplies, we can go leave them school supplies. And when we find out they're hungry, we can leave food on their porch instead of knocking on their door. God opens the doors. He puts us in a location. Our location provides an invitation, and then he opens the door for us. Philip just found himself walking like, okay, I'm just gonna run alongside the chariot until this guy says something. We don't know how long that was. I don't know if it was 30 seconds. I don't know if it was like a 10K. But Philip just walks beside the chariot. And then the guy eventually says, would you get up here? You look really tired. You want some water? Would you explain this to me? And then he has the chance to share the entire gospel story. God opens the door, and then it says this, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch looked at Philip, and he says, look, there's water right here. I've heard your whole story. I get this Jesus thing. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He was accused of something that he wasn't guilty of. He was killed for a crime that he didn't commit. He was buried. 3 days later, he got up out of the grave, proving power over sin and death. I'm in. I get it. I now clearly understand that. And what you're telling me then is that I need to be baptized to join myself in that, to confess with my mouth, but then to publicly do that, to say, okay, I'm gonna reenact the death and burial and then the resurrection of Jesus. I'm gonna reenact that with my own body. You're telling me that's a part of this whole journey with God. The guy looks at him and says, hey, look, there's some water. What would stand in the way of my being baptized? And then he looks at the guy driving the chariot and he goes, you need to stop. Stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch, they went down into the water. And Philip, right there in that moment, baptized him. The text says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, then suddenly, in an instance, one of those miracles like we don't get. I'm not even teaching on this. We have no time to explain this. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But the Spirit of the Lord immediately takes Philip away. And the eunuch never saw him again, but he goes on his way rejoicing. And what we've learned, if you tear into this and you look at how Africa and Ethiopia, how they were reached, a lot of people will say this moment where Philip found himself with this guy was a catalytic event in the continent of Africa, understanding who Jesus was. That you take that moment out of history. How do we reach Africa? We don't know. I'm confident God is big enough. He would have found another way if Philip was like, I'm not going. I'm not doing it. I'm staying right here. I'm releasing my book in 2 weeks. I'm going to go do that. I'm confident God would have figured out. But Philip obeyed. He saw his location as an invitation to participate with God and what God was doing. And he said yes. And then when God said, now go to the desert and walk up next to the chariot. And did you just ask the guy a question? Would you get up in the chariot with him? Would you just explain what you already know? Would you just do that? And the entire continent of Africa is influenced. For me, I stop short sometimes because I just think, oh God, what can you do? And how would this, but what, if I do this and I do this, how does that work? And if I don't do this and I do this, how does that work? And how are you going to put all that together? And I get so wrapped up in the outcome that I forget about the process. And all I think about is the outcome. And I think, oh, there must be this crazy outcome. I've got to structure the outcome. When instead, God's just saying, would you just go where I asked you to go? Do what I asked you to do. Would you just sit there? Don't worry about the crowds. Don't worry about how many people are going to show up. Would you just walk alongside the chariot? And for me, this is where it boils down. Then I have to remember, I have to focus on obedience, not outcomes. I have to work to focus on just simply obeying God and focus on obedience and not the outcomes. Because when I start to control the outcomes, then I think, well, I'm just going to do the math, and there's 1,000 people at this thing and 1,200 at the thing next week, and then there's this other, and I focus on the math, and God's saying, All that adds up to like 3,800 people. Here's what I have planned. The continent of Africa. I get it. Oh yeah, that's a great big thing, Philip, that you're going to go to. I get it. Yeah, there's going to be maybe more people and you're going to be doing this. I've got another plan. Africa. So just walk alongside the chariot. Your location is an invitation, Philip. Just do that. Just do that. This whole purpose thing isn't easy. And the trick with this purpose deal is that you could sit here for multiple weeks and hear these messages and think that this idea of purpose is about you performing and about you doing stuff. But this story of Philip reminds us that God is interested in one at a time. The person in the cube next to you. The person you sit next to in pickup line. The person you wave at every morning when you go to get the mail. And if we'll live out our purpose, God can work through us, and he's going to open those doors. But let's not make this mistake that our purpose is about performance. It's not. Our purpose isn't about performance. Our purpose is about doing what we believe. Our purpose is about doing what it is that we actually believe. What do we say we believe, and are we going to do something with it? So this morning, here's what I thought we would do. I thought we would close our time together. We'd close the service with this. Spending just a few moments reflecting on what it is we actually believe, because what we believe drives our purpose. And do we believe it or not? So here's what I want to do. I had a funny moment this week where me and two other people, we sat in a room and somebody said, hey, let's pray. And they thought I was going to pray and I thought they were going to pray and the other person thought we were both going to pray. And we all sat there for almost 5 minutes in complete silence. It was kind of funny. Because we're like at one point, we're like looking with one eye, like, is she going to pray? Like, are people still in the room? And what we all agreed when that 5 minutes was up, we agreed that the silence, after we got over the awkwardness of who was going to pray, that the silence, the stillness was more fruitful than us just blasting out another prayer. So here's what I want to do. I want us to spend 3 minutes. For some of you, that's going to feel like an eternity. For those of you, you're going to wish it was lasting a whole lot longer. I want us to spend 3 minutes in stillness. And if you got another place to be, that's fine. Do it after 3 minutes, okay? I'm just going to ask you to just sit for 3 minutes in the stillness of this, reflecting on what it is you believe. Because if we don't get right what we believe, if we don't nail down what we believe, purpose is just performance. Purpose just serves another thing to do. Oh, now they want me to do this. Now they want me to do this. Now they want me to do this. And now it's more pressure. Our purpose shouldn't be about pressure. It shouldn't be about performance. It should be about pleasing the Lord and just resting in his path for us and what he has laid out for us. So 3 minutes, I want us to sit in stillness and reflect and ask yourself this question: what do I believe? What do I believe about God, about Jesus and his role in my life and my purpose here on this planet? Let's just soak in that stillness, and then we'll close declaring together. After those 3 minutes, these guys are going to lead us. They're going to close us in a song where we get to declare together what we believe. God, use this time of stillness in our lives. Use this time of stillness in this service, in this place. And Lord, speak to us. Speak to us.
Father everlasting, the all-created one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, where we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God. Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, when we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. In the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion. And in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus, for I believe in the name of Jesus, for I believe in the name of Jesus.
If we think our purpose is only about performance, why live our lives on purpose then? It actually doesn't make sense. But if it's about other people and about lives and about God's purpose and His purpose, living our lives on purpose makes complete sense. And actually, it compels us. And we're obligated to live our lives on purpose so that we can give away what we have, so that we can see stories like that, so we can watch other people get baptized. You see, that story isn't just reserved for Philip in the New Testament. When every one of those stories that you just saw, every one of those people that were just baptized, my kid was one of them. I got to baptize one of my kids in that video. Every one of those stories is connected to someone who walked alongside them from work at school, and who served and walked alongside them and explained to them who Jesus was, and it resulted in their baptism. That's why we live our lives on purpose. And I would just be remiss if I left this out. If the Spirit of God is stirring in you, moving in you to be baptized, and you know it, and you've said, no, I don't know. The last three times I've sensed that and I haven't done anything with it. What are you waiting for? Because that guy from Ethiopia said, I want this. And he was baptized. And then that public profession and confession right there on the moment was a part of the recipe for him to reach the continent of Africa. You can hop online, you can register for our baptism event, you can get baptized. We want you to do that. Church, it's so good to be with you. Let's live our lives on purpose this week. Let me pray for us. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for sending people to walk alongside us, to answer questions, to just be with us. And God, may we be those people who live our lives on purpose, who see the place, the specific location that you've given us as the invite, the invitation for others. God, help us to leverage that. Open those doors for us. And when we get discouraged, help us to not focus on the outcomes, but just to continue to be obedient to you, knowing that you've got a plan that's so much bigger than ours. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for who you are. We believe in you. We trust you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.